the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I'm kind of glad that the Rays won last night. Anytime the Dodgers lose, I'm a happy
loser. It was good, yeah. It at least made the series interesting. I mean, if it were up 2-0, ugh.
Because as long as the Dodgers are ahead, it feels like it's over to me.
I will say this. It doesn't even seem fair that Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, and Mookie Betts are all on the same team. That just seems like it should be a crime. But it is what it is. They've got some.
No, that's why you want to see them lose.
I think Easterby has McNair's ear more than anyone. I think what's going to happen is they're going to find the best guy that's willing to accept it. Does that mean you're going to get the best guy? Probably not. But you're going to get the best guy that's willing to accept that that's the situation.
I'm sure that, and again, this is all speculation on those guys' parts because, of course, they're concerned about that. That's a fair question to have until you go into the interview process and find out, which they're not really doing right now.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. Know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. You know the number for that. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you miss. All available on podcastarena.com. And apparently I'm a dinosaur for still buying things off of iTunes. I'm sorry that I won't pay $10 a month for Apple Music when I have a great library already. And once every 6 months, I like to buy new music.
Call me a velociraptor because I'm right there with you.
Okay. Are you?
I have Google Music, I think. Or YouTube Music now is what it is. So
I use Amazon Prime when I want to like preview an entire album. But if I know I'll listen to it and if I like it, I'll go to iTunes and I'll buy it. Because I don't want to have to go through Amazon Prime every time to get to it.
Like YouTube Music basically has all the music in the world, I think. And my we've got a family account, so my kids have it, and they've got theirs are parentally monitored and stuff like that. My wife's got her stuff. But I rarely listen to it anyway. Cause, I mean, I pretty much listen to satellite radio. So yeah. I don't know. I rarely say I'm going to sit down and listen to an album. I used to all the time.
Well, I wonder what Taylor does because he's here and.
He is a vinyl guy.
And guess what? He does have a Rice game this week. Your Rice Owls are finally playing, buddy. What's going on, man?
I'm sitting here laughing, listening to the platforms that you guys choose to consume your music through. It's fantastic. I applaud you guys for sticking with those. But yes, this is the official start of the college football season. I'm not sure if you guys were aware of that, but
well,
with,
the long-standing traditions
and all, the season has begun. Forget about the Big Ten. Rice is starting their season.
Yeah, the long-standing powerhouse of Rice football. That's the real that college football kickoff. So Rice is in a really – maybe the first time in the history of all time where one team is playing their first game of the season and the other team is playing their seventh game of the season. Is it? Do you think that's happened before?
I looked and listened to Coach Bloomgren's presser earlier this week. It looks like they've tried to dig. We can't. Nobody has been able to find a case where that has happened previously. So this is certainly unique. Middle Tennessee, like you said, one of a handful of teams that got six games to this point in the year. And there's advantages to both sides. I mean, for Middle Tennessee, they've worked through the early season kinks. They know what they have in terms of personnel. But then the flip side, Rice has been able to sort of take in all of their tape, and Middle Tennessee has nothing on Rice. They're having to go back to their game last year, and Rice's new quarterback from TCU, they're having to pull tape from his 2018 season there. So advantages to both sides, but it's certainly an interesting dynamic.
I guess you're calling the game, so I don't want you to I know you're not allowed to totally criticize or love on one team too much, but this Middle Tennessee State, I'm not calling the game, so I'm just going to say it. Middle Tennessee State looks like one of the worst teams in the entire country. I mean, they are just a disaster on offense. And And really, defensively, the only win they got was against Florida International, who has nobody who can play quarterback. They don't have a college caliber quarterback on their roster, and they beat them. But it just seems like this team, offensively, defensively, pretty bad. See, I'm sure Rice has all the film they've got. They've found some holes in that game that they can work through.
Well, Conference USA in general is down this year, which Conference USA the last few years has not put forward a stellar product. But this year especially, I mean, Marshall looks fantastic. UAB looks pretty good. And then after that, it's sort of we're still trying to figure it out, especially in CUSA West. Middle Tennessee's been in all of their conference games. They haven't closed them out. And on offense, they are really struggling to run the ball. Their quarterback leads the nation for rushing yards by a quarterback, Asher O'Hara, and he does it all for them, but they struggle running the ball between the tackles, and they struggle driving the ball downfield in the passing game. So if you can't do those, it is hard to move the football. They make most of their production comes from their quarterback scrambling. So the other tidbit, they're fifth from the bottom in the nation in terms of rush defense. Part of that is because they played Army early in the year, but if you watch Rice the last couple of years, expect them to pound the rock against this Middle Tennessee front seven.
You just did a really nice job of talking about how bad they were without saying that they're bad. I love
it. That's a real pro.
Yeah, that's a champ there. So Big Ten returns, any games there that you're excited about seeing?
Well, in general, just as a fan, and I really do mean this, I grew up, that was the conference that I loved watching, and I'm not really sure why. So just as a fan, I'm glad they're all back. I mean, some of these matchups on paper aren't great, all right? Like Rutgers, Michigan State, that's not going to get a lot of national attention. But Michigan and Minnesota is the one that I think everybody has earmarked. They have game day this week. But that matchup is important because we're going to figure out where, if either one of these teams really comes out and looks strong. Everybody's waiting to see who's going to challenge Ohio State, and hopefully it's somebody. Hopefully the Big Ten doesn't mirror what the ACC is this year to, you know, Clemson and everybody else. That's kind of been the Big Ten the last few years. The usual suspects, I mean, Michigan, Penn State, looking forward to seeing them. But Minnesota, I think if I were to be betting on this game, which I'm not, I would lean more towards Minnesota. But again, just as a fan, I'm glad to see them all back playing.
Couple of the other games, I'm kind of curious to see what happens with the Cincinnati SMU game because the way the AAC is shaping up. I mean, SMU unbeaten, Cincinnati was really highly regarded, hasn't played that much. We talk a lot about the group of five getting the New Year's Six thing, which I think BYU has the inside track to. But what do you think of Cincinnati SMU, and is this a game that might put one of those teams in that conversation?
Well, the interesting thing with the American is that, and I, you know, hand up was very wrong about this. 3 weeks ago, I thought UCF had an outside chance at the playoff, and now you look up and they've got two conference losses, one against Tulsa at home. So Cincinnati is interesting. They played Memphis, obviously, but they play defense, which is important because SMU has just been, they've scored at a breakneck clip to this point in the year. They give up a lot of points. I mean, they played a close game against the Tulane team that is scrappy but not that good. I like Cincinnati in this game. That being said, really enjoying watching Shane Buechele for SMU. I like watching him. I think he's a good dude, and I'm happy for him how this has played out. But in this game, I like Cincinnati, and I think they've got a chance as this season goes on to ultimately win this conference.
Taylor McCarger, I guess. A couple other games that we're looking at here in the Big 12. I'm looking at Baylor, Texas, and I'm wondering, you know, at this point, what is Texas? I think we're all kind of baffled by them. Do you think they get right here against Baylor?
Man, I don't know. They've got issues. They've got real problems, and I would not give them their. They're favorites by 9 right now. And outside of Kansas, I don't know that I'd give them 9 points to anybody right now. Or that Baylor would be getting the points right now. They have so many issues up front on defense. When you just watch them, for everybody listening, when you watch them play, their defensive line goes the wrong direction most snaps. And if you can't fix that, you are not going to stop anybody. We know they can score. They score the most, I think they're either first or second in terms of points per game, but they have to because they've been in a shootout every game. So until they can stop somebody, I think Baylor has a real chance to win this game. I think Texas wins close, but I think 9 points is way too many for them.
The number's now gone from 13 to 14 and a half. So obviously people are thinking that UH is going to do well. I tend to think the same thing. I think that this Navy team is not what they've been the past couple of years offensively. I don't think they've got as much firepower. They're not as explosive with runs as they were in the past. And UH, I mean, really, they've had some. It's been a bit of a roller coaster ride for them. But even in the Tulane game, they turned the ball over 5 times and they're still able to win in a blowout. This UH team looks like they've got something. What do you think of this matchup with Navy, who's always a tough team to deal with?
No, I agree with you. Houston impressed me in the way that they won that game. Going down big, turning the ball over, they worked through their sloppy mistakes and still won. And that's the mark of a good team, especially early in the season. Good teams figure out a way to win those ugly games because average and below average teams figure out ways to lose those. Navy has not beaten anybody really of substance. I mean, they beat Temple close, and East Carolina is not a good football team this year. They barely eked out a win with them. I like Houston in this game as well, and I think there's a chance that they run away with it.
That's Taylor McCarg, and you can hear him calling the Rice game on Saturday. And good to get back in the booth, man. It's been a while, right?
It has been. This has been a crazy year. You know, stuff has been shuffled around. A couple of my games have been either pushed or postponed. And so calling the Rice home games this year, they'll be on ESPN3 and ESPN+. And excited to get back in the booth. And for my alma mater, I'm just excited that these kids are getting a chance to play because they have a bunch of returning starters. And it would have been a shame if they had missed this season.
Was there discussion about whether or not you were going to do it in the booth or off of a monitor?
There was. I actually got tested, my COVID test today. So all staff that are calling the game and are involved in calling the game had to get tested ahead of time and have to get a negative test. But at one point we were talking about, is it going to be in the end zone facility? Is it going to be some sort of outdoor setup? But we will be in the booth. There'll be a divider like you've seen on TV, and the windows will be open. So doing the best we can to, you know, adhere to the university protocols. But glad that they're letting us get in the booth.
Are they allowing fans yet?
No fans. What remains to be seen, and I don't know the answer to this yet, is players' families. That was being discussed, whether or not they'd let them in the stadium. But I don't know the answer to that yet. But I know there's no fans for this first one.
All right, Taylor. Well, we'll be listening, man, and appreciate you coming on. Great stuff as always. Talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. He's kind of backing up a couple of my bets there, which
that's good.
I know. It's very good. So that's where I'll be this weekend, is on MyBookie and making some plays on there. And one of the cool things, too, that, like, for instance, tonight I threw a few bucks on the Giants. And if they get way down early, then I might get a better price in game. I might make that play if I think they can still pull it off. And you can do stuff like that. MyBookie's got everything for you. Oh, by the way, the debate tonight. You want to bet on that? There's goofy stuff on there you can go bet on MyBookie.ag. And the cool thing is, if you win, you're going to get paid. That's a problem with a lot of these other websites, is getting your money out. Not the case with MyBookie. I've never had any issues anytime I cash out. You get easy deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of options to get in on the action. All these games we just talked about, with Brad last hour, with Taylor now, you can get all of them at MyBookie. I'm looking at them right now. And if you join today, they're going to match your first deposit 100%. Center promo code radio when you sign up. Promo code radio. MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. That's MyBookie.
I'm not from Canada, but I see a lot of teams. Dismantle her, I know how to handle her. Light the candle up, make you put a banner up. Toss a 50 up, make them tie the club up. Took your bitch out.
Set your clock and grab your job.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal Box of Awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So, Aaron, see if you can find that death dealer from those guys, Lords of the Trident. Can I get a shout-out to Big and B-Game? Here's the shout-out of the day.
There you go.
That's
shout it out.
Let's go to David. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to get your thoughts on your top list for replacements for Tom Herman, but guys not named Urban Meyer. I think that I don't know if he's the right guy, but I'm very curious to pick your brain and to see who can right the ship, because it's very disappointing as a Texas fan to see the program in disarray.
I mean, if it's not Urban Meyer, I don't know that they're going to move on from Tom Herman, to be honest. Unless if they can get Urban Meyer, and they think they do, I think they'd eat the buyout. But if they can't get Urban Meyer, I think you're stuck with Tom Herman for another year or two.
I don't know that they're going to move on. I think the COVID thing's going to give him a pass this year.
Might.
And realistically, everybody has to be a little mindful right now. And Texas is fine money-wise, but you know, right now I don't think you're going to see as many moves being made like that as you would ordinarily, because you know, a lot less revenue. Especially, I mean, you're still getting the TV revenue, which is great, but you're also losing a lot of gate, a lot of stuff there. So it might not be as easy to just say, yeah, we'll take this buyout and go pay this guy $10 million a year. Texas could do that. I mean, they're one of the places it could. But, you know, and bad Tyler Fly says buyout in a pandemic, no, unless it's Urban or Saban. Yeah, in those cases, I think Texas would do what it needed to do. But I also think that he's – I don't think he's done a poor enough job to get rid of yet. And I know Texas fan probably doesn't want to hear that. But it was just 2 years ago, you guys were winning a New Year's Bowl and acting like Texas was back. So I think he gets one more year because of the Rona. Now, I guess it depends what happens the rest of the year. If they lose, they wind up losing like 4 or 5 games, which is possible. That might change things.
Yeah.
Marty trying to troll UT fans. Billy O to UT. that would be awful.
That attitude would not fly at UT.
No.
He would be fired before they even started their first camp.
The thing with all of these cats is, I think Texas is actually a very hard job.
It is.
I mean, everybody thinks, oh, they got all these advantages, and you do. You got a great place. You can recruit pretty much whoever you want. But you also are answering to a lot of people, a lot of different donors. You have to do so much that's not about what's on the field. And some guys don't have the personality for that.
Well, and that's what made Mack Brown really perfect for that job, was he said, you know what? I'm going to hire really good coordinators, and basically I'm going to do all the
political stuff.
He was a politician.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is.
And he was a handshaker. He knew every high school coach's name. I mean, he was
every donor
with that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, Tom Herman's he's a football coach, and Tom Herman's also a guy who I don't know if he can check his ego enough to bring in smarter coaches than him. And that's what Mac was willing to do. Mac was like, I don't care if Gene Chizik, Will Muschamp, let him.
Yeah.
They're going to go win national championship, go get big jobs. Good, let them.
Yeah.
As long as they're here right now, I don't care. Like, I mean, you should have heard the people raving about Will Muschamp. I mean, Will Muschamp, you would have thought when he was a DC at Texas, you would have thought this guy was the next Nick Saban. I mean, this was a genius. And
didn't they give up a big old payday to promise that he would stay?
Yeah.
And he no.
They tried to make him the head coach in waiting. And Mac didn't mind at all. But, I mean, and that's a benefit of Mac. That was one thing that was great about him was he didn't have a huge ego about this stuff. He was fine that everybody was giving Will Muschamp the credit or whatever. He didn't care about that. It's a tough job, and it takes a very particular type of person. And I don't know. I do think that they're going to look at Urban Meyer and they're going to try to get Urban Meyer to come. Outside of him, though, I don't know if there's Nick Saban, obviously, or Dabo Swinney, which guys who have there's no chance they would go to Texas. But I don't know if there's a guy out there that can just show up and do, you know, and fix this thing the way Texas fans expect it to be fixed. I don't think that guy exists.
Yeah, I don't. The question is, can Tom Herman become that? And I don't know that he can. Is that Darren? All right.
Darren.
Let's hear Darren. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports, man. What's up?
All right, great. So I was actually having this conversation with one of my friends yesterday, actually, about this topic by UT. Now, I actually want to get your guys' thoughts. And I think Texas is probably the only team in the Big 12 that can do this. But honestly, I think Texas' problem is they need to just go independent. And, Fred, you were just talking about all the money they got. And, honestly, I think they just need to get away from the Big 12 because it doesn't matter who the coach is. Like, this conference, you just cannot build up a quality championship team that can compete with
Oklahoma
the
Clemson, disagrees.
With Alabama, with Auburn. You need to get away.
Oklahoma's in the playoff every year, though.
Well, yeah, and what happens to Oklahoma? Oklahoma gets their ass ran out of there. Like, if Texas was to line up against Texas A&M right now, Texas would get rolled. I mean, they'll get embarrassed by Texas A&M. Like, they'll get hammered.
I don't know if you've watched Texas A&M this year either.
To compete on that level. Like, they didn't just get away from the Big 12, start recruiting, like, on an SEC-type level, and they'll have better success.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer. I mean, and you also have to take into consideration, unlike these SEC schools where Alabama gets the same, they get the same amount of the money pie as Vanderbilt, which is obscene to me, Texas and Oklahoma get the lion's share of the money in the Big 12. Texas likes it like that. They like, you know, that they get a big piece of chicken. They get a chicken breast, and then Baylor gets a wing. They like that.
And realistically, trying to go independent is, I mean, it's a hard thing to do now. And especially within the Ronaverse here, that made life really hard for Notre Dame had to go to a conference. BYU is the only one that was able to kind of pull it off. I hate to say it. I don't think Texas is a big enough national brand to be an independent.
I disagree with that.
And be successful.
I mean,
they are in Texas, AJ, but they're not nationally.
That's patently not true. Texas is a massive national brand. Would you consider Notre Dame successful as a national brand? Like, obviously, from a money standpoint, they are, but they're not winning national championships either.
They're making playoffs before Texas is, though.
Yeah.
And getting killed, of course.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think Texas is better than Vanderbilt. I think the Aggies and Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I don't think the Aggies would blow them out. Sorry, Aggie fan. But no, I don't think they have a brand that NBC would go and pay them all this money for. Right? ESPN's already paid them. They're not doing that deal again when that's up. And what was that, 11-year deal?
Something like that.
Yeah. So I just don't know that would work. And frankly, what they need from their conference is, you know, they need, Texas just needs to win the damn thing.
Yeah.
Beat Oklahoma first. All right, now.
And I don't know that recruiting is necessarily the issue.
They get top five.
They get players. Yeah, it's what they do with them once they've got them. That's the problem.
Well, and that's I think, been a consistent problem, is they get highly ranked kids, and those kids don't really develop.
That's the problem. That's the problem with Texas and Texas A&M. Those two schools never have problems recruiting. They get top five, top two. They get this. Do they get Alabama kids? No. You know who gets Alabama kids? Alabama. That's it. You know, and then the next tier of team, Ohio State, those guys, like
LSU. Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Texas and A&M recruit with those same teams. They just don't have the on-field success, because once they get them, they're not taking them to the next level. That's the difference between Ohio State and Clemson and LSU versus Texas and Texas A&M. And really, you can put Oklahoma in that good crowd, too. You could say, well, they get their asses kicked in the playoffs. Well, yeah, because they're playing Alabama and Ohio State, who are – those teams are playing chess.
And Clemson, too. No, I mean, that's the thing. There's a pretty big gap there. Squeeze Andrew on real quick. What's up, Andrew?
AJ, have you watched Aggie football recently? If you line those two teams up, A&M is stomping. I'm all hanging up.
A&M them. Almost lost to Vanderbilt, dude. Stop it. Like, this is the thing. Aggie fan thinks that they'd suck less than Texas, and Longhorn fan thinks they suck less than Aggie. You both suck. They're terrible. Neither one of those teams is kicking the hell out of the other, because they're both very mediocre programs. It's very odd, though. Like, Longhorn and Aggie fan is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
They all suck. Everybody sucks. They both think that they're like on this level that they're just not.
Did you not watch the Mississippi State game? That team is terrible. And they hung around.
Take the labels off the helmets. Make that Mississippi State. Take the exact same rosters, coaching staff. Pick it Mississippi State versus San Diego State. That is one of the most boring games you could watch.
Oh, it's terrible.
If you take away the fact that it would be Texas and Texas A&M playing for the first time in 8 years, it's just a game that you look at and you go, okay, first quarter over. I'm going to go watch something more entertaining now.
I think I'd rather have Texas's quarterback than A&M's.
Oh, that's not even a question.
But, yeah, I
beyond and that, first though, off, I mean, Texas doesn't have a whole lot going for him besides that kid.
No, they really don't.
I think this might be his sixth or seventh year of eligibility. He's got to be running out. I mean, they can't keep him forever, I don't think.
This Aggie fan makes me nauseous. I'm a Horns fan, but a realist. At least I can admit they're bad. I don't know if they're bad. But
they're just not they're never what their fans think they are.
Right.
And they're never, ever what their fans think they should be. And that goes for both of those programs.
That goes for, there's a
That's
few
a lot of programs, though.
Yeah, it is a lot
of programs. Fans think they should be the top of the class every year.
Texas, I'll be honest, Texas is reasonable. And Texas fans, like, expecting them to win the Big 12, it's not an unreasonable expectation, because they've done it multiple times. I mean, they've won national championships, played for national championships in the last decade or two. It's not ridiculous.
Well, it's outside of a decade now.
It
man.
Is now. A&M fans expecting them to win the SEC West is, I mean, it's ludicrous to me. A&M was a mid-tier Big 12 team. And I get you're getting better players now in the SEC, but you're not getting better players in Alabama and LSU. And they make those players better when they get to school. I don't know. It sucks that, you know, I wish that we were arguing over Texas and Texas A&M when they were both in the top 10. Unfortunately, it's like, which mediocre Texas school is better? It's gross.
Yeah, and it's going to be a Texas Bowl or some garbage like that. Yeah. One year. We're never going to get them in a playoff or anything like that. So, all right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. I like that. Crank that up a little bit. Little Ronnie James Dio. See? Ah, I love that stuff. All right. Yeah, it's funny. Didn't expect to get on the whole Aggie versus Texas thing again. But I guess where they are right now, there's not much else to... The thing about Tom Herman is, I mean, that was the guy everybody wanted. That was the hire to make. And he has... The program's better than it was under Charlie Strong. Would we agree on that?
Yeah.
It's just not where they want it to be.
And yeah. It's improved, but it's like for the money that they're paying and considering they had to pay Charlie Strong to leave, they're not getting a return on their investment.
They really should. I mean, they shouldn't be Iowa State right now, which is kind of what they are competitively speaking. So, yeah, but I think you need to see how the season plays out. If they wind up losing a couple of games if they wind up losing five games, then something might happen. But I just think with the whole COVID thing, you got to give him another shot. But Ellinger's gone after this year, right?
Yeah, I think so. Unless he's got, I mean, no, because everybody's got COVID. They've got an extra year if they want it.
Do they?
I don't know if he'll go or not, but he's got the option, I think.
Yeah. But, you know, the other problem is what if you wind up in an O'Brien situation where you're just good enough and then you have to come back next year and say, okay,
right,
this is not it. Man, is there anything that we haven't gotten to that you want to get to? Because I realize we just have, you know, a little bit left in this segment and then Hoffman on Hollywood.
A lot of people have been asking me about the fights. I'll throw a package out on pregame tomorrow, but I think it's going to be good fight. And I can't find a way really to bet on the Khabib Gaethje fight. I think it's, other than maybe it goes to decision, I think Gaethje's a tough guy to stop. But there's a lot of people who are picking Gaethje to win, a lot of experts. And if you believe in it, it's a good payout. I just can't do it myself. I'm not there.
I think it's kind of smart though what they did with Michael Chandler.
Oh, having him like on standby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously, it's a big fight, but if you lost one of those guys, you'd still have a pretty good fight. Yep. And it's an interesting story reading how he's going through the whole thing like he's going to fight, and he's probably not. But he's had a great attitude about it, man. But I think that's very smart, and I will stick to what I've been saying. UFC has been pretty good throughout this whole thing of finding ways to make things work. And, yeah, you've had a couple of matches where there was a COVID test, but guess how many matches you lose because weight or somebody gets sick.
Something.
I mean... So I don't think it's been anywhere near as bad as people thought it was going to be. So looking forward to that. Probably be buying that one. The other thing, did you see Ryan Fitzpatrick apparently did not take things well after all?
Yeah, and it wasn't like he was angry. I think he basically, and it made it worse. Because, like, I'd rather him be mad. But he's like, I was heartbroken. My heart was hurting all day. I'm like, oh, he's
like, I don't think I'll ever start a game again. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
That just makes me feel bad.
Like, yeah, because the first day he kind of said the right things.
He's had a pretty good run, too. It's like,
yeah, but he says, my heart just hurt all day. He said, I've been a starter. I've been benched all kinds of different ways. But this was a kind of first place other than Buffalo that I've been fully committed and invested. I'm sure Texans fans love to hear that. I felt it was my team.
Well, it's the first time that he's ever been said, like he's been ever been told, hey, you're the guy.
No, he was the starter here.
Yeah, he was a starter by default. It's not like
but they brought him in to start.
And they brought Ryan Mallett in to push him.
No, Mallett was later. That was the Hoyer years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He didn't have anybody to push him.
Okay.
But he said, I basically got fired yesterday. And my day-to-day consisted of Zoom meetings with the guy who fired me and sitting in a room with the guy who replaced me for 4 hours. So, now, I'll tell you what, if I were a team that had an injured quarterback right now, I wouldn't mind acquiring him.
Yeah.
I think at this stage he might be a better quarterback than Andy Dalton is.
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
100%.
So, if you're the Cowboys trying to win a division...
Jeff Darlington said yesterday he doesn't see any way that Miami lets him go because
I don't
of how
think
important
so either.
He is.
Yeah, I think they, I mean, I think they like having him in the room with Tua. You know, and let's also keep in mind, as much as that team is confident that Tua is going to be great, Tua is coming off of a major injury. So, this is his first action in a while. So, I would expect them, I don't know. I can't imagine they would trade Fitzpatrick.
Unless Tua comes out and has just a monster game this weekend, and you're like, okay, this is the guy moving forward, then you might be able to pull it off. But then you've only got 1 week to make that decision. So, yeah, I feel bad for the guy.
It says here, on March 18th, 2014, Fitzpatrick signed a 2-year contract with the Texans, named the Texans starting quarterback by new head coach Bill O'Brien, but was demoted to second on the Texans depth chart on November 5th, 2014, being replaced by Ryan Mallett.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, then you can argue with Wikipedia.
Oh, well, Rick Wikipedia, we know.
Darlington also said he didn't.
But he started that whole year, AJ. He didn't have a backup that he was battling with. He started for a full season.
All right.
Yeah, I thought they brought in Mallett to compete with Hoyer after Fitzpatrick. But it was only 1 year that he was here, right?
He was here 2 years.
Okay, and so it's the second year.
He broke his leg in the second year.
Okay,
so that's when the Tom Savage era began.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, Mallett started 2 games in 2014. He took over halfway through a game and then started the last 2 games of the season. And then Savage, Fitzpatrick, and Mallett all had 5 or 6 starts in, or 4 or 5
okay,
starts
yeah,
in
yeah.
2015.
So, but he started 14 games. That was his team.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It was his team until they said,
guess what they just did?
And that's what he said. Yeah. That's why he thought this was different.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Nothing's ever different.
Which is surprising to me. You should have known. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, but that's what he said yesterday. It was like, well, you know, I kind of knew that he was always going to get the job and all this. And then today he's heartbroken. I don't blame him. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Harry's Razors. And listen, these things are great. You can get them in any store now. If you walk in, you just go to the grooming aisle. There they are. If you want to check them out that way. Got a great deal for you, though, if you want to try them for just $3. You can go to harrys.com. Get a trial set, use code KFNC, and they've got 100% quality guarantee. So if you don't like your shave, you're going to get your $3 back. So it's a great way to do it, and I order online from Harry's all the time, and their new sharper blades last so much longer. I'm on 11 days now with one blade thanks to these new sharper blades, and they didn't raise the price. Harry's is available wherever you shop. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in your big box drug and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer just for the Blitzers. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for $3 with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout to give Harry's sharper blades a try.
We could be legends after all.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Last segment on a Thursday about the Little Hoffman on Hollywood.
Have you ever watched the show Antique Roadshow?
Don't think I have.
Aaron?
Never actually watched it, like scrolled past it while flipping channels before when I had a janky cable box in college, but no, never stopped to watch it.
So a guy basically stole some of Banksy's public artwork and then went on Antique Roadshow and asked them to appraise it. doesn't seem like the smartest thing to do.
Not.
There's no word if there's going to be any. I can't imagine they're going to press charges or anything on this guy, but they might. But the guy, like, it's not like Banksy's doing, you know, he's not a. You can't commission him to do a painting for your daughter or something. It doesn't work that way.
I thought he just did street work.
He did. This guy, he basically stole a street sign.
Oh, jeez.
And Antique Roadshow was like, no, we're not going to put a price on that. I'm sorry. I just thought that was a funny story.
Although one of Banksy's paintings, one of his most recent ones, sold for like 3.7 million pounds or something like that in Europe earlier.
The Smashing Pumpkins, fan or not a fan?
Fan.
I think Billy Corgan's one of the great musical geniuses of our time. They've announced a sequel album to Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness and Machina, the Machines of God, as well as plans for anniversary shows. He went on YouTube to claim or to clarify what the band is working on after widespread confusion that the yet unnamed sequel record was only for Melancholy. He says it's a sequel to Melancholy and Machina, explaining that the new 33-track album would complete a trilogy. It's kind of a rock opera, he said. We feel in many ways this completes the circle on everything we started and weren't able to finish at the time, so we're very excited about it. Corgan stressed that, as with the first albums, 95 and 2000, the record would have a conceptual base involving a single character, and the fans will find out who the new character is very soon. It will be and they're going to do a tour with it, a full-blown arena tour depicting the narrative arc of the album, including deep cuts that wouldn't be more of a celebration of the album rather than a performance of it in full. Eventually, we'd be able to stage all three albums as separate shows. The group would have special guests performing in those shows. So,
good luck with those shows.
Well, he's convinced. But they said that the band's 75% done with the album so far.
I'm looking forward to that. I enjoyed them quite a bit.
It's not the whole band anymore, though, I don't think. It's like Billy Corgan, Jimmy Chamberlain. I think they got rid of that Darcy chick.
Yeah, she left.
Darcy and Billy. I think Billy's a tough guy to work with. And, I mean, often really, really great musicians are very difficult to work with. That's why Nine Inch Nails is basically Trent Reznor and a bunch of guys who he'll bring in for a session because it's very difficult to work with Trent Reznor. And Trent Reznor has difficulty working with people who aren't on his level, so I guess that that can happen.
Same thing happens in radio too.
Oh, I know. Trust me, it ain't easy. let's see. Lindsey Buckingham got in on the TikTok fun, and he did the Dreams video too. So everybody's doing this. So Fred, I'm asking you: will you do a video of you longboarding, drinking cranberry juice while Fleetwood Mac Dreams plays in the background?
No. No, I'll do Van Halen's Dreams in honor of Eddie Van Halen.
Okay.
But what is... Probably not, though.
Everybody else is doing it, Fred. You can do it.
Not everybody. I don't know anybody who's done it.
I know everybody who's done it.
Not a single person. This is a made-up thing. This is like the Tide Pod Challenge.
Quibi, are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Quibi was going to be like a startup, sort of somewhat in the vein of Netflix.
It was... Basically, they wanted to do TV episodes, but on like a TikTok version. So you, instead of like a full 30-minute episode, they want to do it in like 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10-minute episodes. They raised like over $1 billion in capital to do this.
That's where LeBron's World Series Astros Cheaters documentary was supposed to air.
Well, and it lasted about 6 months, and it's gone. They're going out of business now. Let's see. Sacha Baron Cohen. That movie comes out tomorrow. The pranks include apparently Trumpsters, abortion, QAnon, and a Rudy Giuliani shocker. And I think the Rudy Giuliani shocker may be kind of spoiled. There's a trip. Some of the highlights says a trip to a bakery where Borat asks a nice older lady to inscribe a birthday cake with an anti-Semitic champ, and then buys a cupcake with a baby figure on top. That leads to a classic comedy bit of misunderstanding it as an anti-abortion clinic. So yeah, I'm imagining this is going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
I know that in our current political climate, people are going to be pissed off about it. I for one cannot wait. finally, and I think a lot of people have said that, and who knows if this is true or not, but Jennifer Lawrence has said that she used to be a Republican. And she says, it's extremely hard to talk about politics. I don't want to. I'm an actor. I want everyone to see my movies. I grew up Republican. My first time voting, I voted for John McCain. I was a little Republican. I feel no surprise hearing this. You should feel no surprise hearing this, maybe because because I'm from Kentucky. It's just the way I grew up. But Trump has made me stop being a Republican. So it's kind of a... This is one of those things where a famous person just comes out and says, this is how I'm voting. Like, Taylor Swift has done this. James Woods, who some people would call Taylor Swift of the right, has done this. It's Scott Baio has done this. There's a lot of political things coming out from celebrities.
That's how a lot of people try to qualify things. I was a until there was something a time. Else happened. So there you know I'm for real.
Yeah, here's how you know I'm legit, because I used to be a Republican.
Well, and I think for a lot of these guys... Well, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I mean, she's right. You shouldn't come out and say, I support this person, because you're trying to sell movies. You're trying to get people... You're trying to make money. And I guarantee you, like Kirstie Alley, of all people, who came out and said she's a Trump supporter. Everybody just destroys her.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so you're not allowed to be a Trump supporter. And not that it matters for Kirstie Alley. I mean, she's not doing anything anymore. Sorry, go ahead with the last one.
We don't have time, but O.J. Simpson was making fun of Jeffrey Toobin, the guy who wrote The People vs. O.J. Simpson, said, you're no Pee-wee. But poor Jeffrey Toobin, like his penis is out on the internet everywhere. Like the
just what a dumbass.
The girl in the Zoom picture, they've got, like, it looks like the Brady Bunch up there, except in the top left instead of Bobby Brady. Or is it maybe it's Greg in the top left. But instead of that, it's Jeffrey Toobin's weird tiny penis. And the girl that's in Peter Brady's spot is like, just repulsed by it. That's a life ruiner, not just a career ruiner. That's like, your life sucks now, man.
We didn't get to it, but that's actually, like, according to Cam Girls, that's the new fetish, is like, I want to act like I'm in a Zoom meeting with you and you watch me while I'm working.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, it's going to wrap it up. Great job, boys. We will do it again tomorrow for happy hour. Till then, stay Rona free, bitches. Tonight.